None of us can do it alone. Together, we have a chance. We can avenge the wrongs caused by all these villains.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the areas. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Books in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico. Today's topic is animated superhero shows from 1990 to the present. And here to discuss this awesome topic with me is Ethan Ringer. Ethan is the son of my regular AU Wishbone and sometime White Rocket podcast co-host, John Ringer. John, step in for a second and tell us about Ethan.
I would say Ethan is a normal young man who loves comic books, loves pop culture, loves comic book movies, comic book TV shows, comic book video games, and he's listening to the White Rocket podcast.
Awesome.
And has opinions about some of the things you talked about, and he was very excited about this idea. And I think this will be useful for fans to, who either have their own children or are interested in going back and watching some of these shows to learn which ones are good and which ones aren't. And Ethan is certainly the subject matter expert on this topic.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you encouraging him to get on here. I bet it didn't take a whole lot of encouragement. He's got stuff to say, right? So let's just dive right on in. First up, I want to ask you, Ethan, a couple of things. What is probably your favorite in any animated movies, comics, whatever, what's your favorite superhero or superhero team?
I would definitely have to go with X-Men, no question.
Okay. So you're more of a Marvel guy?
Yes,
than DC.
Definitely.
What do you think about DC? You like them too, or are they not as good, or what do you think?
Oh, I still like DC. I was just introduced for Marvel, and I've always read Marvel comics, never really read much DC.
Well, they are different. Yeah, all through the years, they've always been a little different flavor, kind of. It's kind of like chocolate and vanilla or leaded and unleaded or something. That's probably not a reference that Ethan would get. But yeah, they're similar, but they're slightly different. And it's funny because non-comics, non-superhero type people don't always understand the difference. I always have to say, you know, the DC is like the characters that have been around since the 30s and they're iconic, like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, and they're very, very black and white, whereas Marvel came along in the 60s with everything you'd expect in the 60s. They're very morally ambiguous with lots of real-life problems. And so the X-Men, it's interesting you say the X-Men, because the X-Men kind of take the Marvel, the thing that Marvel already had going with it, which is like real world problems. How can Peter Parker pay his rent this month? You know, and all, oh no, Aunt May is going to have a heart attack. And the X-Men kind of amp that up even more because the X-Men, you know, everything they do, they're filled with anxiety. Do the regular humans hate us? You know, we're trying to save them, but they hate us. What is it about the X-Men that kind of appeals to you? Is it they're kind of like they're outsiders or what?
Well, the large part of the X-Men that appealed to me was Wolverine, Nightcrawler, mm-hmm. Storm, and Colossus. Just because I love the characters. Mm-hmm. They were probably my four favorite characters in Marvel for a while. But like you said, X-Men is kind of has that very human approach. I've even heard it called the soap opera of comics.
Yeah, certainly true. Yeah, that really started back when John and I were kids, and Chris Claremont took over and kind of turned them into a sort of a running soap opera. That really was true. And it got to the point where if you picked up an issue and you hadn't read for the last 2 years, you'd have no idea what was going on or who all these people were. So, well, let's dive on into it then. What we're going to do is just, you have a list of a few that you're more into or know about, and I have a few I'm going to add in, and we'll just kind of talk about some of the good and bad things about them and compare it to the comics and the movies and whatever. So before we get to your list, because we're going to start around 1990, I wanted to mention that, you know, I probably started watching superhero cartoons when I was in kindergarten, and that would be a long time ago. And the first real superhero cartoon I remember seeing that I knew what I, you know, that I knew what it was excuse me, was the Super Friends. And for some reason, they just did not want to call it the Justice League. Later on, they kind of referred to them as the Justice League, which are the Super Friends. But have you seen reruns of the Super Friends shows?
No, but when I was watching Justice League with my family, because I enjoyed it a lot, so I showed it to them, I would always be hearing Super Friend references from my mom and my dad.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. One of the things that I liked about the Super Friends show is they kept trying to get it a little more serious and a little more grown up, though not much. And so they did bring in the Legion of Doom. They had actual supervillains for a while. You know, they originally had terrible villains. But they even said banded together from remote galaxies. And I never understood how the Super Friends were banded. What is Robin from a different galaxy than Batman? What's the deal with that? Doesn't make a lot of sense. So a couple of others from back then. There was a really good Filmation-produced Batman show. And everything about it was very slick and nice, except it had Batmite, who was kind of the scrappy-do of Batman's cartoons. So, you know, kind of the Jar Jar Binks of Batman cartoons. So if you could get past Batmite, that was a good show. Let's see, I've got two more. There was a Fantastic Four cartoon back in maybe the late 70s, early 80s that I watched pretty religiously. But the thing that stood out about that Fantastic Four, and I bet some of my listeners will remember this, they were not allowed to use the Human Torch. There was no Johnny Storm. It was like he didn't even exist because they were afraid that kids would go set themselves on fire if they saw the Human Torch flying around.
Oh, yeah. I remember all the Marvel mashups of that, you know, Kirby, every episode was like, you think you would see the Human Torch? Nope, it's me.
Yeah, they brought the Herbie the Robot in to be the replacement, and that was so funny. Two funny things about that. One is that when John Byrne was writing the Fantastic Four later on, a few years after that, he actually had Herbie in the comics and turned him evil, which was kind of funny. So you had an evil Herbie the Robot running around in the Fantastic Four actual comic books. And the other really funny thing was there was this magazine I used to read back then, a little bit later, about it was like an action figure magazine. Believe it or not, there was a whole magazine just of action figures, and that Wizard used to put out. And they did these comedy little photo cartoon strips at the end every month. And they had this running joke where there was an alternate dimension where everything was Mexican. And so instead of Herbie, he had a big sombrero and a big mustache, and he was Hombre. And that was awesome. And he talked in with a Spanish accent. So anyway, the last one I wanted to mention before we get into yours was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Now, that show was very, very influential, I think, because it was a little more serious than most of what had come before. You had Spider. It was basically like Marvel team up. But every issue, every episode, he teamed up with Firestar and Iceman from the X-Men. Yeah. You know Iceman, right?
Oh, yeah. And I know Firestar, too. Mm-hmm. I remember I tried to watch the first couple episodes of that.
Yeah.
And I really could barely get by the opening theme song.
I hear you.
So I just gave up.
Well, you have to understand, you're coming from the perspective of having seen much better, more intelligently produced stuff now and then going back and watching that. But understand, when your dad and I were watching that, I don't know if he did or not, but when I was watching Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, I mean, that was about the best there had been. So it was like that or nothing. You know, there was no comparison of something better. That was the best we had. So it had its, you know, it had its bad points. I remember that one thing that came from that show besides Firestar, who later joined the Avengers, and Iceman, of course, who was a mainstay, a founding member of the X-Men, was I think Peter Parker had a dog named Ms. Lion. And Ms. Lion later shows up in the Pet Avengers a few years ago in the comics.
Oh, that's what the dog in the Pet Avengers was.
Yeah. 'Cause
I've read the prelude to the Pet Avengers, and I'm like, Frog Thor,
yep.
Okay, I might be able to get over this. I knew most of the other ones. And then there was Ms. Lion, and I'm like, where did this dog come from?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I would argue the only really legitimate Pet Avengers are Red Wing, which is the Falcon's Falcon, and Lockjaw, the Inhuman's dog, who's really not a dog. He's a teleporting Inhuman. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love that they had Ms. Lion. And I want to say that Ms. Lion's a boy. And they called her called him Ms. Lion.
Yeah.
All right.
I would also put an argument for Zabu being a pet Avenger.
Oh, Zabu, yes. I'm sorry. My apologies to Kazar fans everywhere. Yes, Zabu is an awesome, awesome character. I love Zabu. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into now some of yours. You, first up, you have various incarnations of the X-Men. So talk a little bit about X-Men animated shows as they've come along over the years.
So the first one to come out, and definitely the best, was just called X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And this one definitely stuck to the comics. It was very close to the comics. And one of my favorite arguments for this is, if you count the Phoenix Saga and the Dark Phoenix Saga, the X-Men shows, Phoenix and Dark Phoenix Saga, was about twice as long as X-Men 3, but it was 1,000 times better.
There you go. And I'm hopefully, if I remember, I'll be playing the audio from that show, the soundtrack, because I always thought that show had a really good theme song.
Mm-hmm. Because if you say any of the X-Men from that show, that song will play in my mind for the rest of the day.
That show, I mean, the thing that was really amazing about that show, the first X-Men, is that Marvel had a terrible track record with animated stuff up to that point. DC was just getting going with some really good stuff, but Marvel was lagging behind. And so that, to me, that show was really the first time that Marvel got their animated act together.
Yes. I haven't really seen any Marvel shows before that, but I definitely really enjoyed X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to put that in perspective is I was probably watching X-Men, and it was only among maybe two other superhero cartoons that I watched before kindergarten, and I actually understand. And when I was about 8 or 9, I bought all of them for Christmas.
Awesome.
Because I enjoyed it that much.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think that it was also the first moment that Marvel basically said, mix and match whichever X-Men characters you want to use. They did that later with the movies, right? But this cartoon was the first time that they took different X-Men characters from different periods in the comics and just kind of mashed them all together as the contemporary team. We're kind of used to that now because the Avengers have done that. Because, you know, the Black Widow and Hawkeye were not founding Avengers, but the Wasp and Ant-Man were.
And another thing I'd like to say about the Avengers is people always see the core as Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, and Thor, but Hulk was gone in the second
issue. That's right.
He was gone for a long time. So really, he wasn't even in the central part. I would argue that Giant Man belongs there.
Oh, absolutely.
Giant Man belongs there a lot more than he does.
I hear you. Absolutely. Absolutely right. That's right. And in fact, you know, I've had conversations with myself and friends with Kurt Busiek, the Avengers writer from the late 90s, early 2000s. And he always argues that basically Hulk forfeited his founding spot to Captain America. Even though Captain America didn't show up until number four, really Cap is a founding member and Hulk is not.
He is, because a lot of people, I've talked to people, and for some reason some people think that Captain America founded the Avengers, but the Avengers found him.
That's right, that's right. Absolutely, that's exactly right. Okay, so what about X-Men Evolution? What do you think of that show?
I actually enjoyed this show, and I would definitely suggest to watch it. And it definitely got a lot more complex as the show went on and got a little bit darker. And overall, it's an interesting take on the X-Men, because the X-Men, they'd never been shown in their high school life. Like, they've been known to go to high school, but it was never like, there was never multiple of them in high school, and we get to see like how their mutant abilities interacted with them like in school.
Okay. So it kind of went back a little bit and they were younger. I've never really seen that show.
It's worth watching.
Okay. So they're a little bit younger in it then?
Yes. They're all in about high school besides Storm, Professor X, and Wolverine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They kind of made, see, again, this is an example of how they kind of just pick and choose characters from different historical periods and group them together. So Storm has always, to me, it seems like, been presented as an older member who's kind of a mentor to some of the others, even though she didn't come along until much later after, you know, characters like the Beast and Cyclops and Jean Grey. I mean, they were much older than her, but yeah, she's kind of retroactively been made into an older character. Mm-hmm.
Well, because one of the things about the 1970s show, I mean, the comics, was in the 1960s, it was a lot easier for Professor Xavier because they were all just learning.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was more of a school. Then in this, you know, the second grouping, it became more of like an actual team. And Charles Xavier was trying to teach him, but there was really no point because most of them, such as Banshee, Storm, Wolverine, they already knew how to use their powers. So they didn't want to really take part of it. And they were the core of the team.
No, that's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely. You are very definitely impressing me with your encyclopedic X-Men knowledge and opinions. This is awesome. Very good. Let's see, what about Wolverine and the X-Men? I have seen a little bit of that because my daughter's watched it a little bit. And that show doesn't seem too bad to me. What's your take on it?
I enjoyed it. I would say that Wolverine the X-Men is another watch show.
Okay.
It's a little more darker than some of the X-Men shows when you get later in the season. And I would say it basically takes like what's kind of going on in the X-Men kind of like in the 90s and the early 2000s. And then it takes like the famous 70s and 80s storylines and incorporates it into what's happening in the 90s and the 2000s.
There you go, right. That's a pretty smart way to do it. You get all the best of everything.
Exactly. It worked very well.
Right. So which do you think is more entertaining? Well, first of those three shows, which one would you give the most recommend to?
I would say if you haven't seen X-Men, it doesn't matter if you don't even like X-Men in general, you should watch this show anyway.
Okay. And how do you compare maybe the animated shows to the movies?
Oh, I would say X-Men, X1 and X2 were better than X-Men Evolution and Wolverine and the X-Men. I would say I like the X-Men cartoon better than X1. And X2 is about equal to the X-Men cartoon.
Excellent. Okay. All right. You know, I have to admit, I'm one of the few people that I know, and I do know me, I'm one of the few people I know that actually didn't mind the X-Men 3 movie. I know that I just have never understood how people seem to think it's so much worse than the other two. Honestly, it gives you as close to the Dark Phoenix saga as we've ever seen, you know, outside of the cartoon or the comics. So I mean, I know that it kind of treated Cyclops very poorly, but I was never a huge Cyclops fan to begin with, so it didn't really bother me that much.
No one was. I would say the main problem with X-Men 3 is that all the best parts of the Dark Phoenix saga that made everyone love the Dark Phoenix saga, such as the space, the Lalandra-Charles relationship, it was all gone.
That's true.
It wasn't a movie, and Xavier was dead, and some of the best parts of the Dark Phoenix saga was Charles Xavier and Jean fighting Dark Phoenix.
Oh, man, you got me there, too, I have to admit. You know, let me tell you real quick. When I read the Dark Phoenix saga, I read it as it was coming out, you know, the little 30-35 cent comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having to buy them at like the local drugstore or local grocery store on the spinner rack. And that issue 136, the next to the last one, right, where everything is, you know, at the end of 136, it's hit the fan, you know, it's all about to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to get captured by the Shi'ar and everything. They're like, next issue, the big finale. Well, 137, the big finale, never came to my town. Or if it did, people bought it like the minute it got off the truck. I did not get to read the end of the Dark Phoenix saga for probably 10 more years.
Wow.
Talk about a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Another thing I would say about the Dark Phoenix saga that we missed is the Cyclops gene, because a ton of that, and this is a large spoiler if you haven't read the Dark Phoenix saga, so, you know, just take off your headphones or something.
Throw it out there.
Cyclops is watching while Jean kills herself.
Oh, yeah.
So she doesn't harm anybody else. And probably my favorite part in all of X-Men comics, which is very subtly overlooked, is after talking to his assistant, Robot, after the Dark Phoenix saga, and the robot is asking the Watcher, like, why Jean killed herself. And the Watcher's, like, telling him about honor and the respect for other people's lives, and it was very touching.
Wow.
And that's my favorite part of any X-Men comic, although I doubt anybody else would say the same thing.
Yeah, the Watcher always gets some good moments here and there, as long as they don't overdo him. He's one of those characters that can be overdone. Let's real quickly get through that. The X-Men are such an important part of all this. I want to make sure we get a lot of time. Let's real quickly look at the Superman.
Yes.
And I also want to mention the Batman series from about the same time. They both had Bruce Timm involved, I believe, and was kind of they were kind of groundbreaking.
And so in Superman the Animated, well, I'm going to start with Batman.
Okay.
Because that happened first.
Yeah.
Batman the Animated series, again, it's borderline with X-Men. I loved that show. It was darker than X-Men, probably darker than most shows around that time, and it was very serious. It was not a show you could watch lightheartedly. You had to be paying attention or you would miss something.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say watch it.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about that Batman show, it was the first animated series ever done with black backgrounds instead of white. And so everything was dark.
Oh, yeah. I loved that about the show because it really made me feel like I was watching a Batman show.
Absolutely.
It felt dark. And another thing I would say about the Batman animated series is watch the first through third seasons. They're great. The fourth season is terrible. Skip it. It is terrible.
That's good to know. I've never watched it all the way through. I've seen pieces here and there. But I will say that Batman, to me, has always seemed like a character that just works better animated than in real life. I've just not been a huge fan of any of the Batman movies. I just feel like as a shadowy animated presence, he's so much more effective in that, because they can control the mood, they can control the darkness, and the everything is so much more controllable in animated series, whereas in real life, you have to make a guy in a rubber suit look intimidating somehow, and it's just harder, it seems like, to me.
So I've watched Batman Begin. I like Batman the Animated Series more.
Yeah.
But a lot what I've heard from, like, the Batman movies is that the villains make it. Because, like, some of the villains kind of don't work as much as an animated. They would actually work better real.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Especially since, like, arguably the two best Jokers played in Batman the Animated Series and in The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger, and right. I forgot what the other guy is.
I think Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, yeah. played the Joker.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah, but he was a perfect Joker, and I believe he returned for Arkham Asylum and Arkham Origins.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. and I believe, isn't that also where Harley Quinn started out?
Yes, because you first see Harley Quinn, you have no idea who it is, they don't give any introduction, Harley Quinn's just there. And you get to her backstory later in season 4, and that's the only episode in season 4 worth watching, just because you get to know her backstory, because you've wondered about it for 3 seasons.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't tell you, I've had probably a half a dozen students over the last few years in my classes at Southwestern Illinois who dress up like Harley Quinn. In fact, a couple of them are really good and go to conventions all around. So that's a very popular character, and one of the few that actually came out of the animated stuff rather than the comics first.
Yeah. Now moving on, because mm-hmm. we've kind of spent a lot of time already.
Sure.
Superman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
In my preference, not close to as good as Batman is. It's still a good show worth watching. I only really got through the first season, but a lot of that is because Superman... him and his villains are too straightforward.
Okay.
Besides Lex Luthor, many of them are just straightforward, you know, black and white. Just there's no gray.
Like killer robots or something? Yeah. There's not a lot yes. of intrigue going on?
Because, like, probably 80% of the Superman villains are just killing machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
because they're wanting, they're wanting him to be such a Boy Scout. It is mm-hmm. more of a black and white thing, like you say.
Well, you know... DC could do with Superman what Marvel did with Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make him almost a villain.
Well, they've done just about everything now in the comics that you can possibly do with Superman, so I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't start seeing stuff like that.
Moving on, okay. I know this is one of your favorite shows,
right.
and it's definitely one of mine, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Ah, that is probably my favorite animated show ever. But before you get to that, there's one more that I don't guess you've seen, and it's probably a good thing. There was an Avengers cartoon before that one, and it was called Avengers Assemble, I think, from maybe the mid-90s. Don't even... I want you to forget I mentioned it, okay? Don't ever
okay.
watch it, because it's probably the worst thing ever. But they all had some kind of wacky Japanese power armor. And it makes me feel dirty just to even think about it. So there was an Avengers cartoon in the 90s. Ignore it. Okay. They came.
Worse than that Batman and Robin movie?
Yes, because it was the Avengers. So I cared.
Wow.
So I cared more, right? It was.
Yeah, exactly.
Screw up Batman. I don't care. Screw up the Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm going to get upset.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's the way it was for me. You know, you screw up Daredevil. You screw up Elektra. I don't care.
Right.
Who really cares about them? You screw up the X-Men and X-Men 3. And I. Get really mad.
There you go.
You know,
same
with X-Men or same with Wolverine Origins.
Right. Hey, have you seen The Wolverine?
Oh, yes, I saw that. I thought it was a pretty good movie.
I
Fox
loved it.
Really took a step up from X-Men 3 and Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, I loved it. It was probably my second favorite movie last year. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe only behind
Thor the Dark Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Thor and Wolverine, those were the two, I thought, probably two best movies.
And to me, Thor took a step up.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great. Mm-hmm. The only real problem I had was that they had Christopher Eccleston as the villain, and they just totally didn't use him.
Yeah.
Because he was the ninth Doctor Who, you know, and he's a great actor. And they had him like a statue. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's like I was talking to some other people earlier about Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. They could do it in their deathbed.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Stewart sits in a chair and... talks, and Ian McKellen stands still, floats, and talks. They could do it in their death.
Yeah, do it in their sleep. Phone it in. That's right. They could do it like Weekend at Bernie's, just animate mm-hmm. the bodies.
Exactly.
Oh, we're getting in trouble for that. So what do you like? I know what I like about Earth's Mightiest Heroes Avengers. What did you like about it?
It stuck to the comics.
Yes.
It had that very rotating, you know, sequence. You know, they didn't bring in the... Hawkeye, Black Widow, straightforward, boring. You know, because I never saw Hawkeye or Black Widow as a main part of the Avengers.
No.
Like, Hawkeye was, definitely. But Black Widow is definitely a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and I like how they put that into the show. Another thing I like about the show is definitely the rotating. They use some unnamed people that Marvel would never think of putting in their movies. You know, Miss Marvel.
Yep.
I don't think they even considered her until Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
The Hulk left after the first Avengers episode and then came back.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm a huge Ms. Marvel fan, by the way. And they even had Captain Marvel, and you know, he's been dead in the comics since I was a kid, but yet they brought him in as an alien agent, which is kind of what he was in the green and white suit in the comics. So that was cool.
You know, yeah, because they had all those guest stars. It was really good. I remember there was one other person who they kind of added on at one point, but besides Ms. Marvel, after like the main team.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
It says a lot about how good a show is when the main complaint I have is that the Wasp looked like she was a Japanese cartoon. But other than that, I mean, it was brilliant. They even had Dan Abnett, who wrote the Guardians, you know, created the current Guardians of the Galaxy, to write the Korvac episode. And Korvac was like the Dark Phoenix saga for the Avengers back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
awesome. Then let's talk about the terrible thing that happened to it.
Yes.
Avengers Assemble.
Ugh.
I don't even want to talk about it.
You know what happened was that, from what I understand, was that the Jeff Loeb, they decided that Marvel and whoever the TV people decided they wanted it to be more all ages friendly and not so sophisticated. And they handed it over to Loeb, and he sort of was supposed to dumb it down. And I honestly, I haven't even watched it since it changed over. So if you've seen any of it, just tell the people in general, where did it go wrong?
I've seen some. Basically, they took the Avengers movie, took away all the complexity.
Yeah.
Took away all like the humor that was actually humorous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very straightforward. Like if you have very young kids, like 3 or 4, they will enjoy it. But anybody who has actual complexity would not enjoy the show.
That's what I was figuring and what I was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Marvel all ages Avengers type show that does work or did for a long time was Superhero Squad. Have you seen any of that?
Oh yeah. I've seen all of that.
With this infinity gauntlet, I, Thanos, will rule the universe!
All right, squaddies, time to hero up!
When the bad guys are up, all you have to do is shout out!
I mean, it is what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of a little goofy for me.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, like very goofy to the point where it kind of got annoying.
Yeah, but that's part of the fun, though. It's not supposed to be taken seriously like Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And my, you know, my little girl, when she was like 2 or 3, was watching it and loved it. So, yeah, it's a goofy comedy thing, but it was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm. So, now moving on to the DC.
Yes.
Justice League.
Yes.
And I guess I'll include Justice League Unlimited in this.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League was a really good show. It was very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the only thing that stopped me from putting it over Batman the Animated Series and X-Men, like making it Lightning War, was 1, Aquaman never joined the Justice League. That bothered me.
Sure.
2, I just... Like, I like X-Men more, I like Batman more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally say I've seen a lot of Green Lantern shows. Jon Stewart is definitely my favorite Green Lantern.
Okay, that's cool.
And I hate what they've done with the adding Cyborg over Martian Manhunter. Because they literally took their most, like, diversity person for diversity reasons and replaced him with a with a cyborg we can't connect with.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is to replace is we should have replaced Hal Jordan with John Stewart.
Right. Well, that would make sense. Yeah. And I think that there's whole generations of DC fans that identify more with Stewart than they do with Hal anyway, or Kyle Rayner. I mean, you know, or any of them. So.
Because I remember there was one writer and like an editor's he was writing the John Stewart comic book, and a writer an editor suggested John Stewart or something, and he just left DC because he was so scarred by that.
Yeah.
And then Justice League Unlimited. Basically Justice League, but they have all the superheroes in the DC universe, and it was not as good.
Yeah, I've seen a good bit of Justice League Unlimited, and I agree that the thing that was to me interesting about it was you just didn't know who was going to show up. It was it was really more like DC's old Showcase comic where just about anybody could show up from one week to the next. So you like the original Justice League one better than Unlimited?
Oh, yeah. It was more complex and had better storylines.
Okay.
And the other thing with Justice League is everything is one part, two part, or three parts. Mm-hmm. So you always had a full flushed out storyline.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Unlimited was more one shots?
Yes.
Okay.
And then moving on to Young Justice.
I haven't seen that show, so tell me what the premise is there.
The premise is, like, basically Robin, Speedy, Aqualad, sidekicks, Kid Flash.
Okay.
It's, like, the big day where they're going to join the Justice League. And then, like, Green Arrow's told Speedy a little bit much, and he complains how they really don't have access. They just get to sit in the Hall of Justice. And then, so the Justice League goes off to do something. They go on a mission without permission. They, like, succeed it, come back, and then they become this little underground team. Speedy leaves because he thinks it's not, like, a good enough team or whatever, and I'll save some of the spoilers or whatever. but, you know, like, so it's basically Kid Flash, Aqualad, Robin, and then have you heard of Artemis?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So she joins, and Miss Martian and Superboy join.
So how different is that from Teen Titans? That sounds just like Teen Titans to me.
It's different in the sense that there's different characters, okay. And it's more complex. It's a lot more serious than the Teen Titans show. Like, this is not a show that you can't take seriously. This is a very, very serious. It's a little bit darker than Justice League.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Yeah, there was a team called the New Warriors in Marvel that sounds kind of like that. Okay.
The New Warriors were kind of an X-Men spinoff in a way.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. They had characters from different places. They had, Green Lantern.
And then, Green Lantern, I really enjoyed it for one reason. Mm-hmm. And that, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. So there was a robot, the ship robot that kind of came to life, and its name was Aya. And then they encountered the Red Lanterns, which are like,
oh, love the Red
the
Lanterns
in this.
Yeah, I love the Red Lanterns. Mm-hmm.
And so one of them is kind of like a good person. He was just full of rage because like his wife died or whatever in a rebellion.
Sure.
So he becomes Red Lantern, but like transfers over to good side. So ironically, the most like human parts that you can like the people that you can like attach to. Mm-hmm. Are the evil villain that's supposed to be like full of hate and the robot, and they like connected and fight. And at the end, you know, the robot kind of disintegrates or whatever, and so like this blue ring is established as the blue ring of hope, and so the Red Lantern goes on like to search to find her because they're like in love, and a blue ring starts trailing after her, and that's the end after him, and it's very, if you want to get connected with it, watch it, but. Once you, like, really kind of watch, you have to watch it straight to like it.
Okay. I was thinking it was basically put together to capitalize on the movie, and the movie didn't do well, so I would imagine the show didn't end up doing well.
Well, the parts that they were trying to focus on didn't do well, but the little side parts that people actually, you know, the little side parts that you can connect with and stuff, that was the only reason I liked it.
Okay. Yeah, I was a big fan of the Green Lantern comics that Jeff Johns was writing up through that period. But once they did the New 52, I kind of just jumped out the window. I was done with it. So, yeah. But Green Lantern's a great universe. It's a great idea, and we're going to see kind of Marvel's version of that in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, because basically the Novas are like Marvel's Green Lanterns.
Basically.
So.
Moving on to Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some, like, the first five episodes of the 1990s, but then Netflix removed it, and I've never found a way to watch it again.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that one either.
And apparently that's, like, the best Spider-Man show ever, so I'm like, really, because I was really enjoying it when Netflix cut it off. So anyway, I've only seen Ultimate Spider-Man, and basically in that, they kind of try to turn Spider-Man into Deadpool. And it doesn't really work. You know, he breaks the fourth wall. They make Doctor Strange that crazy maniac, not the calm sorcerer he is. I'm worried they're going to do that in the movie.
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
Because, you know, with who they say they might cast for it? Can't remember.
Yeah,
it
was, I don't remember either.
Yeah, he's one of those, you know, crazy people or whatever. And then, so Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, for me, not a watch. But, you know, it's a fun thing that you can just, you know, watch when you're bored.
Well, the thing about Ultimate Spider-Man as a comic that was effective was that they kind of went back to the roots and made him like a 15-year-old kid. And it sort of restarted the continuity in, you know, contemporary. So it's not 1962 or whatever. It was 2000.
And then didn't he die?
Yeah, I think he did, actually. I think they have a new, sure. I think they have a new Hispanic Spider-Man.
Although... I seriously doubt he would kill. They would kill somebody off in Ultimate Spider-Man. But yeah, just knowing what I know from Ultimate Spider-Man, it is more based off of Ultimate Spider-Man the comic than Spider-Man the comic.
Right.
But you know, he breaks the fourth wall like Deadpool a lot,
sure.
And it doesn't work for Spider-Man
because
he uses his like humor to distract the villain.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a fine line. I mean, you want Spidey to joke. That's part of his stick is that he jokes around the villains. But you know,
they tried to make the show almost focused around his jokes.
Right. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. You had some Hulk show I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah. But before we get to that, I want to talk about Marvel's mashup.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Got to mention that.
You know, I put that under Spider-Man because mainly it was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, some people might not have approved of it, but this might have been, like, one of my favorite things Marvel did. I think it was really smart. And if, for some reason, you don't know what Marvel Mashup is, basically they would take an episode from a really old cartoon, like Spider-Man and the Amazing Friends, that really old Thor show, the Iron Man from the 1990s, and then they'd put, you know, just they'd take scenes of it and they put words that fit there that... just make you laugh. Like, there was a Doctor Doom episode where he had an amulet of power in Spider-Man the Animated series, and there was a lot of jokes about him getting his bling. And there was one part where there's, like, three rainbows in the background, and he's, like, crying, and he's, like, a triple rainbow, it's so beautiful. So there's all those kind of things. And then there's one where, like, Hercules and Thor are making fun of each other and stuff. It's pretty funny. And then Hulk and the Agents of Smash, or as I like to refer it, Hulk and the Agents of Don't Watch.
Okay.
It's basically Hulk is regarded as a monster. So, like, it's him, Red Hulk, Scar, A-Bomb, and She-Hulk are, like, on the quest to become heroes.
Okay.
So, basically, like, every other episode or something, they're battling the leader.
Yeah.
And it just gets really tiring of hearing Hulk say... we will free these people you've enslaved. We will smash you. We will become heroes. And the leader saying, no, you won't. You're a monster, and I'll reveal it to the world. And that's pretty much the premise of almost every episode.
Okay. And they're basically making the leader into Lex Luthor, who always says Superman's a horrible alien, and he's going to reveal him to the world. So
exactly. Okay. You know, occasionally they'll fight Dr. Doom or something. But it's and the storylines only differ a little.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then moving on to... my childhood superhero show, besides the X-Men ones, Teen Titans.
Okay.
Shows I watched before kindergarten did love. X-Men, X-Men Evolution, Teen Titans.
Okay.
This was probably the only show I ever watched live, like, of these, besides maybe Ultimate Spider-Man. Teen Titans, 2003 to 2006, so I watched it when I was very young.
Right.
I loved it. It's a great show, you know, and I've still seen like an episode or two here and there, and I enjoy it. You know, I think part of that is because Beast Boy is probably my favorite superhero of all time.
Cool.
Because he's the coolest superpowers, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, people ask me, what superpower do you want? Beast Boys.
So tell folks that don't know, what does he do? What can he do?
He can morph into any animal.
All right.
It's, and if you don't know what the Teen Titans are, which I'd imagine you do because there's a new Teen Titans show coming on now, okay. It's Robin, Cyborg, which has become a more mainstream player in the DC universe. Not sure why he's still on the Teen Titans. So Robin, Cyborg, Beast Boy, and then there's two girls that I can't remember the name of, but are like really spooky.
Hmm. Well, you know, you may not know, although I'm not assuming that there's anything you don't know at this point, because you know quite a lot. But Teen Titans really got big in the 80s, about the same time the X-Men really became big for the first time. They were DC's answer.
The X-Men, yes.
Yeah, Chris Claremont and John Byrne made the X-Men huge, and so Marv Wolfman and George Perez countered at DC with the Teen Titans, and they kind of were neck and neck throughout the 80s.
I remember some comic book or whatever made a parody of X-Men. It was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then X-Men like parried back with some like samurai elephant thing as a joke comic.
Okay.
You know? And so Teen Titans, there's another one that's present. And I would say of all the shows going on now, it's my favorite. I would recommend it the most. It's still not on my top 10, but it's if you're going to watch any cartoons going on live that I've actually seen, I would say this is the one to watch.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. And let's see. Lastly, we've already talked about Batman, the original animated series. I have watched a good bit of The Brave and the Bold. What did you think about that show?
I thought, you know, it wasn't terrible. If it was still going on today, I would recommend it kind of with Teen Titans.
Well, tell the folks, what was different about it? What made it kind of interesting as far as you're concerned?
Brave and the Bold, it was very focused about, you know, littler kids. In every single episode, Batman would team up with somebody else. There was never a solo Batman episode.
And he's never Bruce Wayne. He's always Batman.
Yes, yes, he is. There's never a part where he's Bruce Wayne.
Which is so odd. It is.
It
really is. I mean, for folks that don't know, The Brave and the Bold was the Batman team up book, kind of like Marvel Team Up was the Spider-Man team up book, and World's Finest was when Batman and Superman teamed up. That's basically this upcoming movie is going to be World's Finest. That's what we're calling it, is World's Finest.
I thought it was being called Justice League because all the other people were coming up in it.
Well, they're building toward Justice League, but this is Batman, Superman, very long, unwieldy title. It's Brave and the Bold. But, it's World's Finest. But, yeah, Brave and the Bold was the Batman team-up book. But it's just interesting that I think that the thing that struck me about Brave and the Bold animated series was it was very stylized. It was very cartoony on purpose.
Yes.
And the best thing about it, tell me if I'm wrong, the best thing about it was Aquaman.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yes, it was. It was. And then there's that one episode where they, like, him, his son, and his wife go on vacation to the surface world, and, like, Batman calls for his help. It's great.
He's like in a Winnebago or something, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
And then the Joker, it's like, hey, you know that 60s live TV show? You know how you'd like absolutely nothing but the Joker?
Yeah.
Well, we only took the Joker from it. Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, it was meant to be kind of funny and kind of wacky, and it was successful. It even had a Green Arrow that was like the 60s Green Arrow.
Yeah.
With no beard, you know, and all that. So, you know, like an Arrow car or something. I mean, it was meant to be kind of a throwback thing.
And then I have a top 10 cartoons of like the ones you definitely should watch.
Hit us. Let's go.
You know, kind of going down if you haven't watched them. Number 10, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Okay.
Number 9, Green Lantern. Number 8, X-Men Evolution. Number 7, Young Justice. Number 6, Teen Titans. Number 5, Superman the Animated Series. Number 4, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Wow.
Number 3, Justice League. Number 2, Batman the Animated Series. And number 1 is X-Men.
Wow. Now I'm going to have to go get Justice League on DVD or on Netflix or something, because I would have had Avengers number 1 with a bullet or a repulsor blast. But yeah, wow, it's only number 4 on your list, so those must be really good. Mm-hmm. are you a fan at all of the Legion of Superheroes in general?
The Legion of Superheroes, is that kind of like the Justice League? I haven't really heard of that.
They are the 31st century superheroes. They're kind of like teenagers in the 31st century, and they're all from different planets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've heard of that. Because I watched like some kind of Justice League time traveling, and the people from the future were like, we're from the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. There's Cosmic Boy, Saturn Girl, Lightning Lad, and then like 8 million others.
Yeah, I remember that from there was one Justice League one where they went to the future, and like the leader of the Justice of the Legion of Superheroes was like Brainiac.
Yeah, Brainiac 5. He's a he's not the same as Brainiac the robot guy. Exactly. He's a blonde-headed dude with
skin. And in Justice League Unlimited, it's funny because Supergirl falls in love and stay there. And, you know, they come back and Superman's like, where's my cousin? And he's like, well, she fell in love and stayed with somebody there. And he's like, oh, that's good. Who? And he's like, Brainiac.
Well, that's funny because, you know, in the old days in the comics, Superboy, before he grew up to be Superman, went into the future and was a member of the Legion of Superheroes for years.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, they changed after they did their Crisis and they rebooted the universe a few times. They had it be Supergirl that went forward. They were Supergirl in the Legion of Superheroes. So the one thing you need to know about Legion of Superheroes, if you ever investigate it, because I would recommend, they have tons of great stories over the years, but the one thing you need to know is they reboot that thing every 3 or 4 years and completely change everything. So every time you get used to the status quo, they completely change it, throw it up in the air. So, but it is it's a good set of characters.
So one thing I like that Marvel did that DC kind of didn't in comics the past couple of years, talking about reboots is DC completely rebooted, got rid of all the past comics, and it's just like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we never got the even like half of the Joker's backstory. You know,
the New 52, you mean?
Exactly, yeah. You know, the New 52, we got rid of, you know, half of that backstory, and you can't rebuild it. You can't. You know, we don't have another 80 years to get the Red Hood back in here. You know?
Yeah, that did seem like an odd decision on their part to me.
But I like what Marvel did where they kind of like almost reset it. They gave you a jump on point.
Right, right.
You could jump on knowing nothing and just kind of regain your balance as you go along.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, it was an odd decision, and it provided what I call a jump off point because I quit reading them entirely when that happened. I'm like, well, I guess I've reached the end of my segment of it, so I'm going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, you read all that backstory. I don't want to read this backstory again.
Yeah. I have two other quick things I'm going to mention. I really like some of the good Superman one-off movies. There was a Brainiac Superman movie that came out, like, in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an adaptation of a Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, I think, comic. And it's fantastic. It's about Brainiac stealing the city of Kandor and shrinking it. And then he tries to steal Metropolis. That's an awesome book. It makes Brainiac into a really scary villain. The other one I wanted to mention is, you know what series is coming up soon now?
Not off the top of my head.
Guardians of the Galaxy is getting an animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Tied into the movie. Really? Yeah.
Cool. So, you know, before we kind of head off, I just kind of want to match some to the movie. Superman, the animated series. I've really only seen Man of Steel, and I would say I hate a Man of Steel because of what it did to Superman.
Yeah, it had
Superman,
issues.
The animated series, a lot better.
Yeah.
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, I would say it's only a little less good than Avengers the movie, in my opinion, just because Avengers, you know, had a little bit more humor.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Joss Whedon, I mean, that's what.
And Avengers Assemble was terrible, so let's not even mention that.
Yeah.
Justice League is not a Justice League movie, so I'm not going to compare that yet. Green Lantern, from what I've heard, the show must be a lot better than the movie.
Anything would be better than that movie.
Oh. Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, definitely worse than the first Spider-Man, definitely worse than the second, probably equal to the third.
Yeah.
Moving on to the new movies, worse than the first. From what I've heard from my friend, who's also, like, really big into comics, especially Spider-Man comics, like, he's probably read every Spider-Man comic from the 60s to today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's more than I have.
He's a huge Spider-Man fan. Probably the only person in my school who knows something about comics more than I do. And so he said, Spider-Man 2, I didn't watch it in theaters because they gave away the entire movie in the trailer.
That's true.
He said it was terrible.
Spider-Man 2?
The new Spider-Man 2.
Oh, right.
He said it was terrible.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this. I liked Amazing Spider-Man 2 for a couple of reasons. I really liked, I thought, Electro was in some ways fun, but kind of the weak part of it. But I liked the actor. I like the actor that played Garfield that plays Peter Parker. I like him in some ways better than I liked Tobey Maguire.
I have to say, I think I like Tobey Maguire more because Andrew Garfield can't play that wimp.
Yeah, well, that's kind of true. He is a cooler, hipper Peter Parker. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. He's not nerdy enough.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite parts about Peter Parker is he's wimp by day, awesome superhero by night, you know?
Yeah, I get that. It's actually one of the things I like least about Spider-Man, because I just feel like if I were Peter Parker and I had that power, I would not be wimp by day. I would be cool all the time. but, you know, that's probably... I'm totally misdoing the character when I say that.
And moving on to Hulk and the Agents of Smash, I would say I haven't seen the first Incredible Hulk movie because my dad said it's not worth watching, so I should never see it. So I'm assuming Hulk and the Agents of Smash is better than that, but I've seen the one with Abomination. I would say the one with Abomination is better than Hulk and the Agents of Smash.
Yeah, that movie's all right. It's not horrible.
And then moving on to Batman the Animated Series, I've only seen Batman Begins, and I have to say I like Batman the Animated Series more.
Yeah.
And Batman Begins.
Yeah, Batman Begins was okay. I'm still not sold on Christian Bale in the role of Bruce Wayne. I think Bruce Wayne needs to be a guy that's like Clint Eastwood, tough, John Wayne, tough, scary. And Christian Bale is too little, too young. He just doesn't strike me as an intimidating figure.
And whoever played the voice of Bruce Wayne from Batman the Animated Series, that's always how I imagined Bruce Wayne's voice.
Right. Yeah, no, that guy is great. Absolutely.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Conroy, I think, is his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
So I know you have to wrap it up now.
Yep.
Because it's about 9 o'clock.
Yep, we're out of time. Man, that was awesome. You did a great job, Ethan. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, sir. All right, well, the White Rocket's going to get on out of here for another week. Hope you folks enjoyed this and learned what shows you should watch and what shows your kids might enjoy. And we will see you back again next time for another special guest. In the meantime, we'll see you all down the road.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.